Let's take our Bibles tonight and open up to the 16th chapter of Mark. Mark chapter 16. I'm going to be starting a series, and I was thinking this afternoon, in Sunday school, we're going through the survey of the New Testament, trying to do one chapter a week, and yet that's still going to be 3 or 4, maybe 5 years to get through the New Testament that way. On Wednesday night, we're going through Psalms and Proverbs, and that's going to be about 6 years. And I'm thinking, my oh my, when am I ever going to find time to ever preach anything else? And the Lord's been kind of speaking to me about doing this series for quite some time now, and I don't have any idea how long this one will last. All I know is I have 16 points in the first one, and I have about 25 minutes, and so you know this will be more than one, and I knew that going in. I want to do something that will be practical here on Sunday nights, that will be helpful for you. And so I'm going to focus in on how can we become better soul winners? How can we be more effective at leading others to Christ? And we're just going to go back to square one and then move forward from there. Now, there's a lot of different topics we're going to address on this, what I have tonight and what I'll be doing on several of the studies will be taken out of Drawing the Net by Buddy Mumphrey. And it's a book that we used in personal evangelism when I was in Bible college. And so I'm adapting some of his outlines because they're really good and hard to improve on that. And I'll be taking some other studies as well. In fact, this is kind of ironic. I always print on an unprinted side of something that's already been printed once. If it had a blank side, and I looked on the other side of what I printed on, and it said, some things the successful soul winners must include in his life. I thought, well, that makes a good study, too. And so, as I said, I want to be hopeful and share Scripture and help us to become more effective. Now, some of the upcoming studies will be things like 4 fears that stop most Christians from soul winning. And then taking each one of those fears and how to cope with them and how to overcome those fears. 6 objectives in the soul winning visit. Just a lot of good things in the book. Some don'ts in soul winning. Spiritual preparation in winning souls. So just some very good, very practical things. And so we'll be looking at these topics. And I have to believe that somewhere in there, we're not going to go straight through. We'll have some other messages in there as well. But we're going to start out tonight just considering some reasons why we should be a soul winner. Look at Mark chapter 16. We'll read just verse 15. Mark 16, 15. Jesus being referred to when God tells us, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Father, we thank you for your word and the clarity of it, both in salvation and also in what your expectations of the Christian are. Father, help us to improve in this area of our Christian life, that we might influence our community one soul at a time for Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, how many of you have ever wanted to have a greater burden for the lost? You know, we know we should, and sometimes we struggle with it, though. That we struggle seeing souls walking past us into the devil's hell. And I think if we consider these reasons, and I have, as I mentioned previously, 16 reasons why we should be a soul winner. And if we consider these 16 reasons and just kind of meditate on these and think these over and think these through, it'll help us to have that greater burden, that more intense desire to see lost people come to Christ. And I believe it will be very helpful. Now, the first of these should be pretty obvious from the passage we read. It's one of the verses in the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28, here in Mark chapter 16, Luke chapter 24, and John, and then also in Acts chapter 1, we have verses that we call the Great Commission, where Jesus was telling the local church through the apostles at that time what he expected us to do, what our marching orders were. And those marching orders have never been reversed. Now, I'm reading a book, very interesting. I learned something really good about it today, or out of this book. But it's a history of Black Baptists in the United States. And I like to read a lot of history, especially about Baptist history. And it's the only book I've ever found on the history of the Black Baptists in the United States. But one thing I've noticed is when they are talking about the missions program of the different Baptist, Black Baptist organizations, and it wasn't just them, it was they were led by the white Baptist denominations. Their missions went from winning souls to starting schools and starting hospitals. They went to the social gospel. That's not the Great Commission. Now, those are good things and oftentimes necessary things. But what we've been commanded to do, and this is the first reason why you should be a soul winner, is because God commanded you to do it in the Great Commission. As I said, this is our marching orders that He has never revoked. And even though it is given to the local church, we as individual members of the local church have the responsibility to fulfill this commandment. And we as a church are disobedient and not doing what we're supposed to be doing if we as individuals aren't getting the job done. It's good to hear about how we pass out tracts. And we may say the same thing over and over again that Amy and I have been to the hospital a lot here in the last month. And just the way the devil works, when we were presenting the gospel to Ivy this week, we got to verse number 2, the first time we ever got that far with her. And she was focused for once, for the first time. And in comes physical therapy to work with her. And that was that. But we trust God will give us another opportunity. But, you know, just leaving tracts behind. And every week we'd say we left tracts down at the hospital because we're there about that often, wherever you go. And some of us go to the same places over and over again. But praise God we're doing that. That's called faithfulness, to do the same thing over and over again when it's the right thing. And that's what God expects of us, to be passing out tracts, be looking for opportunities to share that gospel message. Look, if you would, over in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. Why should we be a soul winner? Because God commands it in the Great Commission. Also, this idea of God commanding us is found in Luke chapter 14, verse number 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and do what? Compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Now, one of the studies, I'm not sure if we're going to take time to investigate it or not, but that's in the book that I referred to, that I draw the information here that we're using tonight. But one of the chapters he has is the difference of persuading men, winning souls, and just sharing Christ or witnessing. And he makes a distinction. It's kind of an interesting study. But as I said, I don't know that we'll go that far. But God says compelling. That means it's something they don't necessarily want to do. It's not something that they just wake up on a Sunday morning and say, oh, I think I'll go to church this Sunday. The lost people just don't do that. They have no interest in spiritual things. And they have this skewed idea of what church is about. And especially independent Baptist churches, they think we're legalistic. They think that if you join that church or become a part of that church, you're either going to be part of a cult or it's going to be so legalistic you'll never have fun in life. And I've said it before, when I was growing up and I looked at the Christian, especially the Baptist, I thought, you know, what do they ever do for fun? Because they don't drink, they don't cuss, they don't smoke, they don't do drugs. What do they ever do for fun? What else is there to do in life? And that's what the lost people are living like. They have no interest in church. To them, this kind of thing is boring. But we understand the power of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. To the lost, it's foolishness. The foolishness of preaching. But to those of us that are saved, this is the very power of God. How God can speak in a way He'll not speak anywhere else. Because of the Holy Spirit's presence and the power of God on the local assembly. And so we have been commanded to go out and compel them to come in. And I believe this verse, at least in my mind, this is our commission for running buses and running vans and trying to bring the young people in and anybody that we can get on that bus to come along to church. So why should we be a soul winner? Number one, because first of all, God commands us to. And that should be where we should be able to stop, isn't it? If God commanded us, what other reason do we need? If we want to be obedient, I think all of us in the room tonight want to be obedient to God. None of us want to be disobedient. What is disobedience? Was that a little three-letter word? Sin. Thank you. If we're disobedient, then we're living in sin. And so that should be where we should be able to stop. But wait, there's more. 15 more. And so let's move on. Turn over, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. This is a verse I almost always allude to as I'm presenting the gospel. This is probably where I begin just about every time. Because I want to be able to determine whether a lost person is lost or saved. If you say, are you saved? They'll say, yes. If you say, am I going to heaven? They'll say, yes. If you say, are you a Christian? They're going to say, yes, 90% of the time. Unless they're a Muslim or a Hindu or an atheist, you're going to get the answer, yes. Now, does that mean they're going to wind up in heaven? No. And so I always refer to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You see, a second reason why we should be a soul winner is because people are entering eternity lost. Now, if they're entering eternity lost, where are they heading? They're certainly not heading to God's heaven because they have sin in their life. They're heading to the devil's hell. They're heading to the flames. They're heading for eternal torment and eternal suffering. And so when I'm beginning to talk to someone about the gospel, what I'll do is I'll quote this verse, and then I'll say, we don't know exactly what's going to happen at that judgment after you die, but God's clear. We die, and there's a judgment that follows. And I just have to believe that that judgment will determine our destination, whether we go to heaven, welcome into heaven, or if we're condemned to hell. And I say, now, if you stood before God at that judgment after you die, and he were to ask you, why should I let you into my heaven, what would you say? You see, if you ask it that way, you're going to find out. Because nobody says, yes, because it's not a yes-no answer. They have to think about it. They have to communicate, if they're going to answer the question, they have to communicate what they really place their hope in. A lot of people say, I don't know. I wouldn't know what to answer. A lot of people say, because I'm good. I'm better than my neighbor. I've kept the Ten Commandments. I've done my best. I go to church. I've been baptized. I hear all these responses. And every once in a while, I'll hear, because I trusted Christ as my Savior. See, that's the right answer. If someone answers that way, I know they're in heaven. But if they answer any of the other ways, I know they're lost. But the fact of the matter is, people are dying every day. I couldn't even begin to guess how many have died since we began church tonight. Now, the book said 7,000 an hour. 7,000 people were dying an hour. But this goes all the way back. I don't know when the book was published. Probably in the mid-70s. And so certainly it's more than that. So we would say, just to take a very conservative estimate, since we began the service tonight, at least 5,000 people have died. At least 5,000. Now, this is across the world. So we're talking China and India, the two most populated nations in the world. We're talking South America and Africa, where all kinds of different religions exist. How many of those 5,000 do you think were welcomed into heaven, stood before this judgment, and God said, welcome home? How many do you suppose? Probably not very many. Now, let's just narrow it down here to Crawford County. I don't know how many people died. Certainly not that many, but perhaps some. How many of them have gone to heaven? I would like to think all of them. How many of them had a chance to go to heaven? Certainly all of them have, but how many have had the gospel presented so they knew how to get to heaven? Think about this one for a minute. Of all the people that died in Crawford County in the last week, how many of them ever had the gospel presented to them, so that they would have an opportunity to escape the fires of hell? How many? I couldn't give an answer to that. But I know a lot of them are going to churches that aren't telling them how to get to heaven. They're going to church and they're hearing a message on social issues. They're hearing a message on political issues. They're hearing messages on, I don't have a clue. Or they're hearing messages that if you keep the sacraments and trust in Holy Mother Church, we'll get you there, if you're going to get there at all. Or perhaps they're hearing that, yeah, you've got to trust Christ, He died for your sin, but if you don't speak in tongues, you're not going there. It's a really sad thing. A young man, he was here this morning in Sunday school that trusted Christ, and he was very interested in baptism. But he decided he wanted to be a Pentecostal where Grandma goes. And I know that church tells them that if they don't speak in tongues, they don't have a chance. If they don't, they can trust Christ all they want, but if they don't speak in tongues, they'll wind up in hell for all eternity. Find that in the Scriptures anywhere. It's just not there. And so again, I ask the question, how many that have died in the last week ever heard the gospel? My guess is it would be the minority. Now, whose fault is that? Is that God's fault? They've got His Word. Is that the Holy Spirit's fault? He wants to draw all men unto Christ. Is that Jesus' fault? He died for them. It's not God's fault at all. So whose fault is it? It would be your fault and my fault. And every other citizen of Crawford County that has the gospel message and knows it and has received it. It's our fault. Because if they die without hearing the gospel message, it's because we haven't gotten the gospel to them. Now, admittedly, some of them may have had the opportunity and refused it. Where a soul winner went up and said, can I talk to you about eternity? And they just flat out said, no, I don't want to listen. That may be the case. They may have been handed a tract and thrown it away. Or like the one fellow that was, I told you about the other, several weeks ago now, who was really straining his neck when he was using the men's room so that he wouldn't have to read the gospel tract that I put there on the top of the urinal. That was the craziest thing in the world. It would have been a whole lot easier for him to just sit there and read the thing. But no, he was just literally just as far as he could get his neck away from looking down at that gospel tract. But people are dying, entering eternity lost all the time. Look at John 3:36. John 3:36. Reasons why we should be a soul winner. God commands us, and people are entering eternity lost. John 3:36. Here God tells us, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. What a wonderful promise. But then he makes a second promise. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now, God doesn't put any asterisk or any fine print there, any footnotes. He that believeth not the Son shall have a second chance, or will eventually receive my mercy and be welcomed into heaven because I love all men. It doesn't say that at all. It's just very plain, very clear, very blunt. Shall not see life. And that last phrase sounds very unpleasant, doesn't it? But the wrath of God abideth on him. Just use your imagination for a little while and consider just the wrath of God. The wrath of God. The wrath of one who is omnipotent, all-powerful. He can do anything he wants to do to these individuals as he pours his wrath out on them in their lives. And not just one who is omnipotent, but one who's omniscient and knows how to make life miserable for one and how to make one's existence, because we certainly can't call that existence in hell a life, because God doesn't. He calls it death, separation from God. And they're going to be weeping and gnashing their teeth for all eternity, time without end, without a break, ever, because the wrath of God abiding on them. They're dying. and going into a Christless eternity. If you can get a hold of that, that will make such a burden for the lost in your heart that you won't know what to do with yourself. You will be compelled. Turn over, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The Bible word is constrained to share the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we have our third reason why we should be a soul winner. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 14. He says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." And so what the Apostle Paul is saying here says, one of the reasons why I have to share the gospel is because God's love forces me to share the gospel message with those that are lost. He says, I can't help myself. I just have to. If I don't, they're going to wind up in a Christless eternity that's nothing but the wrath of God and suffering and separation from Him. But because God poured out His love in my life, and because God loves them so greatly to send His Son to die for their sins too, I just have to, if I'm filled with the Spirit of God, I have to share the gospel message of God's love to them as well. Do you understand God's love for you? How much He loved you when He sent His Son, even when you were at enmity with Him. God sent His Son. What a wonderful thought that is. I talked about that this morning, so I won't belabor the point. But in Romans chapter 5, Paul addresses it, so I'll just read this verse and move along. Romans chapter 5, verse number 8. "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Not because He saw anything great in us, not because He knew that we would amount to something for Him that would benefit Him, not because we were better than others, but while we were yet sinners, God loved us. The love of Christ should constrain us, should cause us to share the gospel with those that God loves. And then one last reason why tonight. Reason number one was simply because God commands us, and that should be all we need. But there's more. We should be a soul winner because people are entering eternity lost. We should be a soul winner because of the love of Christ constraining us. And then in the same chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, down to the end of the chapter, verse number 20. "Because we are ambassadors." You may not have signed up for it or been conscious of the fact that you were volunteering to become an ambassador for Christ. The fact of the matter is, every Christian is an ambassador for Christ. Look what it tells us. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God to beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." We're the ambassador of God. What a high and lofty office. I just believe that if I would resign my pulpit and run for the presidency of the United States and won the position, that I would be taking a demotion. There is no higher office than to be a pastor, or to be a missionary, or to be what an evangelist that God has called us to. I believe it's the most important office in the entire world, these three offices, according to Ephesians chapter 4. But all of us are ambassadors for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now the question is, what kind of ambassador are you? Do you represent your King well? Do you deliver the message that He has given to you to deliver to the lost and dying world around you? You see, we should be soul winners because we are ambassadors. And when we arrive in our native country called heaven, and we stand before our King whom we represented, what will you hear as an ambassador? Will you hear, well done? Or will you hear, the depart from me? Now, we probably won't hear the depart from me in that nature, that we'll be sent to hell, but will we hear him hang us, or see him hang his head in shame and say, I sent you to a group of people to deliver the message, and you failed to do so. You talked about the Cleveland Indians, the Ohio State Buckeye. Can you imagine Cleveland Indians in first place this time of year? I couldn't, and yet there they are. My Tigers are stumbling. You talk about the Buckeyes. They say they're not going to be that great this year, but we all know better. I hate that team. I hate college football. Everybody talks about how good Michigan's going to be. I hope so, but I'm not holding my breath. And we could talk about the weather. Man, it's been hot, hasn't it? I'd like to have died yesterday at the fishing derby. I was worried about rain. I should have been worried about the sun. Brother Scott was smart. He brought a little, a little awning tent. And that was good until the wind got a hold of it. So that lasted for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and we had to take that down. We talk about the weather. We talk about all kinds of things. We talk about our grandkids. If you don't believe that, talk to me after the service. I love to talk about my grandkids. But how often do we talk about Christ? Well, that's not to say we can't talk about these other things. We have to be real people, and we are real people. We need to build relationships, and those are ways we build relationships. But we need to lead it into being that ambassador, giving the message the King has given us to deliver. Otherwise, we're an unfaithful ambassador. And what is it if we're unfaithful? It is sin. And so, four reasons out of 16 why you should be a soul winner. Father, we thank you for your word and again for the clarity. Father, there's so many reasons. We're not even going to, even though we have so many, not going to touch all the reasons why we should. But Father, help challenge our hearts to be faithful. Thank you for those that are. May our faithfulness increase. Father, may our burden for the lost increase as a church family. Because those that go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. And Father, we want that rejoicing. Help us to get to that point. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.